Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation 6. And we continue with the apocalyptic four horsemen of lesson 17. If you need lesson 17, raise your hand. Brother Collins will get that to you. Anyone needing lesson number 17? We have been on this quite a while, so most of you have it. The pages are starting to age. It is becoming an antique. But anyway, lesson number 17. We are just starting section 4, really, which covers Revelation chapter 6 through 11 and dealing with the awful judgments of the book. Of course, this is the thing that I guess most Christians or many Christians are intrigued with, dealing with the next event, the rapture, and then, of course, the start of the tribulation. And it is the thing any time I've ever preached on the coming of Christ and ever talked about the tribulation, I've been in awe at how we can't possibly understand how bad it's going to be. We can imagine to some extent, but we really can't. We read these four horsemen, and again, that's one of the reasons I'm taking a lot of time, because it is, I think we need to be really think through just how bad it's going to be. And again, I wish the whole world would understand the truth of the Scripture. I really do. I just wish that everybody knew the truth of the Word of God, and how terrible this time is going to be. Literally, every imagination. The Bible talks about that in with Noah. You know, every imagination of man, everything man could ever do. You know, just the sinfulness of man. You know, and we have, unfortunately, even though many of us in this class are older, we also have kind of fallen prey to the idea, oh, man's all right. Man's pretty good. Folks, man is corrupt, and our flesh is wicked, and it is vile, and the tribulation is, you know, obviously God pours out his judgment, but one of the things that to me we totally overlook is man is unchecked, and the lust of his flesh, it's unchecked. It just does whatever it does. We get little glimpses every now and then, you know, of that with mankind, but we just always go back to the idea, well, man, you know, people are basically good. People are basically sinners. That's all of us. And again, that's not to say there aren't people doing great things, and we have people around here that do unbelievable things, and God has blessed us with some of the best people in all the world, but we're all sinners. And the thing that just keeps standing out to me is what potentially we could do left unchecked. And that, of course, is what I think we see here. Again, the idea of an antichrist, Roman numeral 1, a deceitful diplomat. The idea there, how could anybody follow someone like that? And we're watching how. Because we're watching our country elect people, not just a person, but people. People in key positions who are massacring babies and have no problem with it, who are wanting to legalize homosexual marriage and make that acceptable, make it okay. And, you know, we're seeing that, who are wanting to silence this pulpit and the preacher behind it, who are wanting the Christians to have no say at all, because all we can do is say hateful things. And the truth is, we could start out every service with, "For God so loved the world." And we'd have no problem with it. We'd preach every message with that theme and have no problem with that either, because that is what our Bible's all about. But all these things are proof that an antichrist can and will be followed easily, quickly, and obediently. Well, let's do our memory verse, Revelation 6:2. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And again, Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And Father, we are again reminded of our own flesh as we study the Bible and as we look at the Bible. We recognize that it is a mirror and it shows us what we truly are. And that's why so many don't like the Bible. But we thank you so much for the view that you give us so that we could see that we're sinners, and so that we could see we need a Savior, and so we could call upon you and be saved. And then we thank you that we can see every little smudge and every little blemish and every imperfection that we have, that we might work on that and we might let you work on that. And ultimately, we just thank you that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that you will just bless now this time. And again, remind us that we need to tell the world the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And so we looked at the Antichrist, a deceitful diplomat. We looked at his description, his deceit, and his diplomacy. And I think deceit and diplomacy went together very, very well, as again, there is certainly a sense of deceit in so much diplomacy and fancy words, but you know, no intent to keep the peace. And the Antichrist, we know, will do that. That will be very, very obvious. Number two, then, Roman numeral two, we talked about a divisive destroyer, verses 3 and 4. And again, each introduction of a horseman is given by one of the beasts, one of the four beasts that we talked about who knows how long ago. But the first seal is broken, and then the first beast speaks. And the first beast, of course, the lion, lion face. And then the second seal, and that is the... then announced by the second beast, which was a calf or an ox, and that was the divisive destroyer. And there will be so much death, so much destruction during the tribulation. And again, we're not even talking yet about God's judgment. We're not talking about what God is doing. This is just mankind. And I think that is the thing that needs to that I hope will stand out. I mean, war and death that way, the chaos of people having no restraint is, I remember Katrina, and I remember vividly the watching as people just broke into stores, busted the glass out, took items out of the stores, plundered the store. I mean, somebody just a block away is drowning, and folks are breaking in so they can get their big TV. You know, again, no restraint. Well, where's the police? Well, the policemen are trying to get people off the roof. And but, of course, the media only talked about that a little while. But anyway, you know, you just have to realize that the destroyer comes. And so that is a red horse we talked about last week. And then we come to Roman numeral 3, and we have a declarer of dearth. And verses 5 and 6, and again, these all kind of tie together. Don't think of this as separate. These kind of are all together. The Antichrist, of course, he does his thing, works out deals of peace, works out a deal with Israel for 7 years, signs a peace treaty, which he has no intent of keeping. But obviously, he does that through his diplomacy. And then the red, of course, is the power to take away the peace, and the war and the chaos, people killing each other, fighting over property, fighting over, now as we come to number three, fighting over food. And it's amazing what people will do when they're hungry. It's amazing, you know, how carnality will rear its ugly head in all kinds of ways when it wants. We see a lot of it with power-hungry people, and when they want, they'll destroy lives to get. We see it. We watch it happen all the time. But I'll tell you what, when people are hungry, it is amazing what they will do. And so verse 5 says, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, balances in your mind, if you can just imagine a balance, a stick, we'll just say a stick here, and then the little trays here, and the balances, all right, like a scale. And so he had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so here we have a black horse, and again, the announcement made by the third beast, which is the beast with a man's face, and the opening of the third seal. And so this declaration or declarer of dearth comes out, and he's on a black horse. Black is a sign of fear and distress and mourning. Look and write down Lamentations 5 and verse 10. Lamentations 5 and verse 10. And of course, to lament is to cry. Lamentations 5:10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. And so we have an idea here of a famine bringing on blackness and fear and distress and mourning. 2 Kings 6 and verse 24. 2 Kings 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. That's what happens when you get hungry. You do unbelievable things. And of course, we go on to the story, and again, that's what happens when you get hungry. And war brings famine. War will always bring famine. Crops are destroyed in war. Disease wipes out food sources in war, and this is old time war. We have to try to get in our minds a nuclear war. We have to somehow understand and get in our mind what kind of death and result of nuclear bombs going off and radiation and sickness and food sources destroyed. The tribulation is, again, we're not even dealing yet with God pouring out His wrath. I mean, that's not even being dealt with yet. We're not even dealing with demonic torture and problems. We're not even dealing with that yet. We're dealing now simply with the result of mankind and being unchecked and fighting one another and the chaos that ensues. And so, again, you have to try to imagine, you know, and we it's hard for us because we're just not hungry. I mean, we're not. We have food. Everybody, I'm sure, everybody in this room, we all have food. Of course, we have the pilgrims back there, and who knows? You know, they may be struggling. No. But we all have, we have that. We don't know that. Now, if you've ever fasted and gone without food, but still in your head, you know there's food. You know there. Okay, well, I'm fasting for several days, but I know after several days I'm going to be able to eat. These people don't know where the next meal is coming from. Now, let's just follow this out, all right? Because these balances are a sign of rationing. And rationing, again, America has not known that since really the Depression, and you know, the rationing is an amazing thing. And during the Depression, did they ration food during the Depression? I know they rationed gasoline and other items. Does anybody know that? I don't. Okay, so they rationed food then. Okay, so. You know, I've seen the little tickets for gasoline, and you could only get so much. And so during World War II, then, the rationing of food. But even then, Americans, you know, you kind of knew that you would have food. Now, there are countries that don't have that, and they would understand this a whole lot more. But I want you to just kind of follow this out a little bit, because in that day, normally, a penny would equal 8 measures of wheat and 24 measures of barley. Okay, that was the normal of that day. Now, this day, it says that a measure of wheat for a penny, 1 measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And so we recognize that during this time, it will be literally, it'll be 1/8 the normal supply of food. Now, that's what actually is going on. That is the reality of the food shortage. And this is for people who can pay for it in the first place. So whatever the price is and everything, we can calculate that out as 1/8 the normal supply of food. So in looking at this, 1 day's worth would now have to last 8 days. Now I want you to just think about what you'll eat in a day. And now you have to stretch that out over 8 days. Okay, so my bowl of Wheaties every morning. Whew, I can't even imagine stretching 1 bowl of Wheaties for my breakfast. I can't imagine stretching that out over 8 days. Now you say, well, that's kind of a silly. No, but that's how you have to look at it. 1/8 the normal supply. So 1 day's worth has to last 8 days. Now watch this. The average meal would have to last 8 meals. Now think about that. The average meal. Okay, let's say today for lunch you're going to have ham and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn. Sounds all right, doesn't it? All right, and so you have your portion, and for some that might be 2 plates full. For others, probably the average would be 1 plate full of that type of a meal. Now you have to cut. Okay, so you have your potatoes, which if you're biblical, you always put a hole in the middle, and then you put your gravy in. How many of you do that? Okay, I'm amazed when I see people just take a wad of potatoes and just pour gravy on the top. I don't understand how you can ever face God. But anyway, so you have your potatoes, and we're going to say they're about like that. Now you're going to divide those into 8. Okay, and you're going to have your potatoes and your little drop of gravy, and then you're going to have your ham. Let's say it's about like that, and you're going to cut that into 8s. And you're going to have that. And your corn, you're going to divide that into 8s. And you're going to have that. And let's say you get a piece of pumpkin pie today. And then you're going to take that piece of pumpkin pie and you're going to cut that into, and that's going to be your meal. That's if you're well off. That's what you get. Now, again, that's tough. Average meal is going to last 8 meals. Now, again, that's a guy that has money. That's not a poor person. Poor person, it's even worse. People are going to die of starvation. That's why this horseman is mentioned, because very, very clearly the reference here is to there will be death by hunger, and it'll be huge in that day. Wow. Notice here, the prices are spoken in heaven. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three. So these voices are spoken. The prices are given in heaven. And as soon as I read that, I thought, you know, God does control the market. He knows what he's doing. God has, I'm thinking about now. I'm thinking about today. I mean, heaven is very aware of the market. And, you know, if you're a farmer, and by the way, a farmer is mentioned in the book of James as one who needs to have much faith and patience, because, come on, I mean, crops are destroyed because of hail. Crops are destroyed because of wind. Crops are destroyed because there's not enough water. Crops are destroyed because there's too much water. And so heaven has a say, obviously, in the food. By the way, if crops are destroyed, what do you think cows do? Yeah, good. That's exactly right. What do you think pigs do? They die. You see, you know, I'm just saying we have to understand that, you know, this is going to be one of the worst ways of death during the tribulation. People are going to starve to death. And the Bible says this, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so somehow we have this idea that God's control over the oil and the wine are you know, it you almost have the idea there will not necessarily be a dearth of that, but it will be very, very expensive, and only the wealthy will have it. And you say, well, that doesn't seem right. If we think there's class warfare today, in that day, it is going to be unbelievable. It is going to be absolutely, so you're sitting in your nice home, and you have your food, and you have all the luxuries, which oil and wine would be considered a luxury, and you have all that kind of stuff, and boy, you know, you don't even know anything's going on except for the crowd of 100 people that just gathered around your house. Bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be worse than you and I can even begin to imagine. And what you say, well, I'll get my gun. Yeah, okay, great. And you'll shoot two. Again, I say you, we won't be there if you're saved. Unless something happens before the rapture, and obviously that can happen. Of course, none of us are wealthy. We'll be the ones surrounding. No, we wouldn't do that. But, you know, this is going to be one of the worst things, I believe. And it leads us into number 4. And verses 7 and 8, you're proud of me. I'm going to get through two of these today. It's a miracle. And it's very hard because I'm talking about starving to death, and I smell what they're cooking again. Do you smell it out there? Yeah, you ought to be here. Sometimes I think they have a fan down there, and they just kind of blow it up here. But actually, I'm really not hungry. It just always smells good. But verse 7, a deliverer of death. And so the result of all of this, the Antichrist, the war and the fighting and the chaos and then the food supply and no way to replenish that. And so the result is obvious. Verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, and there's our fourth beast, and that is, of course, the head or face of an eagle. And the Bible says, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, here you really, it just kind of all ties together of how much death is going to take place. Okay, so the result, the final horseman is death. And physically, this is a pale horse. The Greek is, it's like a light green, which is a rigor mortis type color, a decomposition type color, one that none of us really wants to think about, talk about, or anything else, because it is gross to think about. But it is decomposition, it is rigor mortis, it is death, and it is pale. And death is first, and the Bible says, and hell followed with him. And so we have physical death, and we have spiritual death represented by hell following. And so where there is the physical death, the spiritual death follows right behind. What a contrast to the Christian, who the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a contrast. But to the world, it is death physically, and hell follows. Even more reason why we need to get the gospel out to those who are lost, because they have no hope. Brother Clark and I were talking about funerals, and honestly, I've said this for years. I do not know how the unsaved ever attend a funeral. I don't know how they go to the cemetery. There are no words of comfort to comfort an unsaved person at a funeral or a funeral home or a cemetery. And in the tribulation time, death is first and hell follows. And the Bible says here that power was given unto them, that's death and hell, over the fourth part of the earth. And here's an interesting thing. I'm going to have, let's have the ushers go ahead and come, because I do not want to, I want to finish off today. And ushers, if you go ahead and just take the collection for the class, that'll be good. But one-fourth, okay, power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill. Now, the fourth part of the earth, is that the geographical fourth part? Could be. And you can, you know, boy, you can get into which countries and everything. Certainly, my thoughts of the rapture taking place and the U.S. being decimated, I have no problem. But I think more than anything, it's not talking about geography as much as it's talking about population. One-fourth. Now, again, you know, our minds, we just say, okay, one-fourth, and we go on, because four is not a very big number. But one-fourth of the world is a huge number. It's huge. Now, again, God has not, all God has done is allowed these things to take place. Are you listening? God has not done anything yet as far as his judgment. Again, I don't mean that. God, this is part of God's judgment, but God has not done anything himself. This is man being man, okay? This is the result of man being man. And so now try to imagine one-fourth, because of these four horsemen, these events unfolding, one-fourth of the population. Now, again, we're right around 7 billion today. All right, that's a lot of people. All right, that's a lot of people. 7 billion people. And so let's imagine the rapture taking place. And, they say between 5 and 11% of the world's population are Christian. And I'm going to put that at about 7% are Christian. So there's going to be about, again, that's if the rapture takes place today. You understand the population is growing every day. That leaves about 6.5 billion people. All right? So if the rapture takes place, there's going to be about, again, if that was today or within the week or whatever, that'll be about 6.5 billion people on the planet Earth. That means that over 1.5 billion will die during just this time right here. 1.5 billion die. Now, just to help you think through that a little bit, we think World War II was big. We think the Holocaust was big, and it was. Don't get me wrong. But with World War II and the Holocaust, the execution of the Jews, with those two events together, 50 million people died. That's worldwide. 50 million. You understand, these four horsemen, this progression, again, the time period is not said necessarily. Understand, 1.5 billion people will die. Wow. I mean, it's bigger than, I had a book years ago talking about the World War III. How many of you have seen that book before? That was a long, long time ago. Anyway, but it was a prophecy kind of a book. I mean, really, World War III, there's no comparison. It's not even, there is absolutely no comparison between this event, these four horsemen, and again, just the result of man's sin. 1.5 billion people will die. And altogether, the Bible says this, it says a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword. That's war, that's fighting, that's chaos. And it says, and with hunger, that's famine. That's the result of the war, the result of the chaos. That's the, all of that, the crops being destroyed and all of that. Okay, so the sword, hunger, and with death. The death there is the idea of pestilence. Disease. Now, again, I don't want to gross you out while you're smelling pancakes cooked, but let's just understand that rotting corpses that are not buried or dealt with or burned or whatever, let's understand that breeds every kind of disease and corruption you can imagine. And after this is all going to happen fast. You have to understand, this is all within 7 years. I think it's within shorter period of time. I don't think this is this 1/4 because there's other verses. But it's not a long period of time. It's just going to be bad. The pestilence will be unbelievable, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. And the Bible says this, and it says, it's very clear to say, and with the beasts of the earth. Because you know what? Animals are going to be hungry too. Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. Well, I'm sure glad Fifi. Oh, if Fifi's hungry, Fifi will be hungry. Oh yeah, Spot will be hungry too. They would never turn on me. Well, if they're hungry, this is not good. I'm talking about wild animals and domestic animals. Let me close with a real pleasant thought for all of us. Well, and that's the other part of it, because people will eat their animals. If the children of Israel, when they were hungry enough, if they would eat their children, you'd eat Fifi, or Fifi would eat you. Oh. Anyway. But it's okay, because what's going to happen is, and again, I really don't want to gross you out, but with corpses all laying around and everything, and the rot and the maggots and the not just human corpses but animal corpses, everything else, everything's going to eat everything, and everything's going to get diseased, and it's going to be bad. But here's the thing: and we could get into the bug world, and we could talk about some bugs that it'll blow your mind. You know how tough roaches are and all that kind of stuff. But how about rats and mice? Just rats and mice, the rodent family. All right. You know what? Do you understand that rats and mice have killed more people than all the wars put together. It's not even close. It's not even close. It was amazing. I was studying this out, and it's just, this is just one kind of animal, rats and mice. Okay, they carry over 35 diseases. Rats and mice carry over 35 diseases. Their fleas alone, their fleas are responsible for the bubonic plague, which killed one third of Europe in the 14th century. You read about all that, but you don't understand. That's because of the fleas of mice. Bubonic plague. Typhus, okay, from their fleas. Typhus, typhoid fever, typhus, in 4 centuries killed 200 million people. Today, this new hantavirus has brought forth death, and people can't believe. Well, how did they get? Well, they breathed the waste of animals, the mice and rats. And I promise you this, if you know mice and rats, they will go after the food very quickly. They will find the food, and they will find your food. If you know anything about roaches, they'll find your food. When we moved down to Pensacola, I'll never forget how we had to put everything in Tupperware containers. We didn't even know it at first until one night when we heard all the noise in the kitchen when the lights went out. And you turn on the lights and there's just one sudden movement as they all go back into hiding. I'll never forget when my wife opened her stove and roaches came out of there. Yeah, it's not a pleasant thing. But again, I'm not trying to talk about the roaches as much as just rats and mice. If I close with this wonderful thought for you. If 95% of the rat population were killed today, 95% of rats were wiped out. Okay, you called Rats R Us, and they came and they killed 95% of all the rat population. Do you understand? It would replace itself in 1 year. In 1 year. Now, you know, you say, well, I thought about people shooting each other, and I thought about people stabbing each other, you know, but rats and mice? Oh, yeah, where there's food, there's where there's not food, they find the food. That's why you have mice get in during the winter, in the fall, right about this time of year. If you're in mouse areas, they get in. And it's amazing how they can get in. So understand, this is going to, Harold, don't talk while I'm talking, all right? Let me finish, thank you. It is going to be, it's called tribulation for a reason, okay? There is a reason that it's called tribulation. It is going to be a terrible, terrible time. These four horsemen, again, all it is so far is just man. It's man. You know, oh, we want the Antichrist. Can you imagine? But now we understand. Now we see it as men continue to choose wrong. And wars and fighting and foods destroyed and supplies are destroyed and hunger takes place and people die. 1.5 billion people as a result of mankind just being unrestrained. Yeah. We talk about the animals being wild. If there's no Holy Spirit, if there's no Bible, if there's no scripture, if there's no truth and morals, and that's going to be the result. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and thank you.